Any injuries ahead of this one, Steve?
Two concerns. Michael O'Connor played last night and he's not trained today. He's perhaps got a lot of back strain, but that could be overnight. That could just be stiffness or whatever from the firmer ground at the Keep Moat. And Wes Thomas has come out of training today, just feeling his thigh a little bit. But this is someone he's had for a couple of weeks and we've been managing. So again, we're hopeful he'll train tomorrow, and Michael, if they both train, we'll get everyone. If they don't, they miss.
O'Connor must be pushing hard for a start at the moment. I wasn't at Preston, but I know many that were, who said that when he came on, the way he was distributing the ball was excellent.
Well, we changed systems, so Michael got a bit of a free roll in there to do what he does. But for the last 2 weeks, I have to give him enormous credit because he's looked like the Michael O'Connor we know. He's not looked like the Michael O'Connor that we had for 3 or 4 months that sat off the plane and didn't get around the pitch. This is the boy who's looked like the Michael O'Connor in September, October, when he was our best player. One of probably the best player in the league at that time, central midfield player. And deserving of international recognition. And then obviously he went out with his injury and others will get in. But, you know, this is a team that's delivered 20 from 24 points. So when you're going to make a change in that team, it has to be well thought out. And I've always said that I'm a democratic manager, and as a group of staff, we have to sit here and it just doesn't need to be my decision. I rubber stamp it, make it final, but I need to hear from 2 or 3 voices that if we're thinking of making any changes, that 2 or 3 voices are on the same page. But Michael has given himself every chance.
How's he got back to that point then? Is that purely down to him? Is it you? Is it the fact that he's up in the summer? Is he worried about the future?
Well, he came in and we had a little chat, and as Michael knows, I explained, we just couldn't go to the board and ask for a new contract on someone who's not in the team and someone who's well paid at Rotherham. Yeah. And he has to be in the team, but whether you're well paid or not well paid, you have to be in the team to get something new. And he's good enough to be in our team, but he's only good enough when Michael's at his very best. And he's capable of being simply stunning for us. So, but to get a new contract, you have to be in and be stunning. Otherwise, when I go to Tony Stewart, people perhaps don't see the other side of management. When you want to give someone a new contract, it's the board want you to justify your rationale. They want you to talk about how many games he's played, how many games he's missed, how many opportunities he's got to play, how many starts, how many we've won, drawn, lost, his percentage of game time. You know, and Michael's percentage of game time is in mid-30s. So he has to get that significantly up, and he's well capable. And we're about to enter the season, or a part of the season, when we need players like Michael O'Connor on our team. But we only need the best Michael O'Connor on our team. And if he's the best Michael O'Connor on that pitch, Michael O'Connor's contract will follow.
How deep do you look at players' appearances to winning ratios? You've got a piece of paper there, if you don't mind me bringing that up. You've got a list of players there that tells you games played, stats, starts, wins in relation to starts. How deep do you look into all of that kind of thing?
Well, if you looked at it in isolation of if a player joined you in loan, you can look at players there of 100%, and it's irrelevant. It's 1 or 2 games. But when you've gone the games that we've gone in the season, you know, when you've gone, you know, 31 matches in the league and a few cup games, it paints a picture, and that picture becomes very clear in the statistics, further statistics than that can it tell you about game time. So if you look at total minutes that they could play for Rotherham United in their time here, the actual minutes played and what that percentage relates to. So in this particular piece of paper, which your listeners can't relate to, but we're looking at, is you have the player's name, total minutes that they could have played for us, the unavailable minutes, so if they were injured on international duty, and then the minutes played and the percentage played. The percentage played is a very relevant one, because if you're a player at Rotherham United, you sign a contract to play football.
Who's at the top of your list then?
Well, there's very easy, simply. There's a couple of ones that are very simple to be at the top of the list, like James Taverner's coming loan and he's at 100%. But it wouldn't have come to any surprises to Rotherham United fans to realise that in very quick succession is Ben Pringle, Kieran Agard, Lee Frecklin, Tanara Lavelle, Carly Arneson, Joe Scars, Craig Morgan. There you go. So yeah. These would be the players that probably most fans, if they're travelling into the match on Saturday listening to your show, if they're writing the team down or sitting at home writing it down, all those top names will be there.
Yeah, so they're first on the team sheet then?
Well, they're not necessarily first on the team sheet, that's just a statistic that says they've played the most minutes. Yeah. And then you have to relate to it. If they're playing the most minutes, what does it relate to in terms of start? So if it's starting matches, how many of the percentage relates to in terms of the overall stats, and then win, drawn, lost, win percentage, unbeaten percentage and lost percentage. And those things come into it, because football is about individuals, but it's in key departments is about partnerships.
Right, signing this potential club record, you said about a week ago that you give it another week, and if nothing came of it, you'd perhaps look elsewhere. Where are you at?
Well, we've not gone anywhere. We left it, as you know, Paul, a week ago, where we had that club saying they'll come back to us when they had some movement. We've certainly not seen anything on the BBC or in any of the newspapers to reflect something happening at their end. So, in all honesty, things have gone quiet, not necessarily between myself and the player, because we're still texting each other and I still got the obligatory texts to wish us well at Preston and well done afterwards, etc. So that player is obviously still keen to do his bit, we're keen to do our part. But as I've always maintained, until such times as his club say, right, you can make that happen, then we can. And, you know, we're coming into the month, of course, where the transfer window will close for the season. And we have to make sure that we give ourselves every opportunity to get in these playoffs, which is proven tough. And if we need to do something in the market, I'm sure our chairman will support it.
Do you think it'll still happen with this player that we're talking about?
I think it's 99.99% certain. If it don't happen now, it will happen in the summer. I think it will happen in the summer. I don't think there's any doubts whatsoever that will be the case. Why do I know that? Because I'm giving some clues here. The player's under 24 and he's out of contract, and we'll go ahead. But we've tried to do something now, because obviously still then in the summer, before people jump up and say, well, why would you break your transfer record if he's going to be out of contract? Because there would still be a compensation payment.
Right.
And it would probably be, in our opinion, more than what we've agreed to pay for him. So, but we would still do that then.
What kind of a difference would this player make?
We think he'd make a huge difference. We think he's young, he's hungry, he's talented. He's, for being so young, he's got good experience. And we think it'd make a big difference to us. But we genuinely think and hope that every player we sign, we hope makes a difference. But we think this kid might make a big difference to us.
Is he coming from top level?
No, he's coming from one above. So he's coming from a championship level. And that championship club is waiting on something happening with a premiership player in their direction. And they'd be taking someone on loan, we'd be taking someone on loan, but it would be a guaranteed permanent. So it's just you know, just something we're hoping to do. They're hoping to improve at their end, and we're hoping to improve at our end.
Not someone at Leeds, is it? Because they're trying to get a player in there, and he's from the Premier League, not Leeds.
Well, I'm not going to get anywhere specific clubs it is. It's certainly no Matt Smith who's been said to us that it could be Matt Smith. But, you know, Matt Smith is a top player and a big, great target man in the Championship who does great. And I know what Brian thinks of him, and I mean even disrespectful talking about Matt, but you know, we've got Alec Ravel there in that position who we want to sign a player who makes an impact, and we think this kid can go straight in for us.
Okay, you're 11 points clear of 7th place. It would take some spectacular failure, wouldn't it, now, to blow that?
No, it would take it would take 2 weeks like Leighton Orient had when they lost 5 in a row, and that can happen. And I've watched Wolves, so if we're looking at the teams that's in close proximity to those playoffs, you're looking at the likes of Walsall, you're looking at the likes of Swindon, you're looking at the likes of Port Vale, who would be the key protagonist to break into that top group. And if we isolate Walsall, I watched them recently draw at Peterborough, and they were by far the better side, and should have won on the day. And I think everyone was surprised when they lost at home on Saturday. But, you know, we can't think about what results are happening elsewhere, although we know every game when it's happening and who's likely to be the team. And we know Walsall's at Preston on Saturday, and I know people have to go to Crawley, and I know where Wolves are, and etc, etc. But from our point of view, we can only focus on ourselves. And I'll have to get that gap between the 7th place team and Rotherham United to 16, 17 points. And I think if we got that gap to that extent, we could perhaps have a real focus on the top two.
How well are you playing right now? Let's say over the last 6 weeks, how well are you playing?
I think we've been terrific over 6 weeks, and I think we've not been terrific in 90 minutes of each of the games, but I think if you take it as a collective, I think we've been terrific in terms of energy levels, performance levels, and certainly in terms of tenacity and desire and will to collect points for Rotherham United. This group has been stunning, but there's so much more to come individually. So much more to come collectively. And this group has been handpicked all over 20, 21 months, and it's been a real difficult job to move people out that we didn't see as figuring in their plans. And we've moved some talented players out, some boys that can really play. But unless you have the attitude to match that ability, we don't want you.
Yeah. The desire, the determination to win, I think, highlighted by the number of late goals that you've had in the last four games. In each of the last four games, you scored a last-minute goal.
Yeah, and the thing that, as a manager, if, and I'm sure our supporters will go back and look at some of the footage, if you look at our equalising goal, that was a big test for us. We'd been 2-0 in front.
Yeah.
Should have had a penalty. Preston should be down to 10 men. I think the referee acknowledges that now. Not questioning his integrity, just had a bad decision. That would have been game over. But to go then 3-2 down and being outplayed, and we were being outplayed for the best part of 25 minutes in that second half, then to change it tactically and watch your men in front of you get in the trenches, regroup, and find some vigour and some fight and some spirit, which we know they've got, and then to take a whirlwind finish it to Preston for the last 10 minutes shows what we've got. But where I was coming to and where I was alluding to, in every one of those late goals, I've seen every player bar our goalkeeper on top of the goal scorer, and that tells you what it means inside the dressing room, because people can say they've got spirit, they make it up, they've not got spirit. Spirit is when you've got a unified group who go to the end of every game, and we'll lose games this year and we'll lose late goals because we've scored enough of them ourselves. But when you walk into the dressing room at Preston on Tuesday and you can hear a pin drop and people have given you everything and they're disappointed, and as a manager you spend the next 20 minutes before you meet the press trying to lift your players, you know you've got a special group.
Best group you've had?
By far. And it's taken some time to get there. And listen, I issue a word of caution to everybody in that group. You change and you go out. That group is unified. We're led by a great captain in our dressing room, a great vice captain in Lee Frecklington as well. And our dressing room manages the dressing room. Our dressing room disciplines the dressing room. And believe me, why would I know if there's suddenly a chink of a bad apple in there? Because my players will tell me.
Yeah.
Because my players won't want that person in that dressing room. And over this 21 months of development, since myself and Paul Rayner have been here, we don't get in the dressing room on a daily basis at the training ground. We meet on the training pitch and we take our coaching sessions and we have individual meetings. But over that 21 months, our players have managed it by letting us know enough about certain individuals that are not pulling that rope as hard as every supporter at Preston on Tuesday and every supporter of a big crowd that we have against Notts County on Saturday.
Frecklington's banging form at the moment, isn't he? Playing perhaps to his maximum?
Yeah, he's been fantastic, hasn't he? When we first got the opportunity to sign him on loan, and I know then from speaking to Barry Fry that he said a price could be agreed, and listen, I just got Barry to meet our chairman. I didn't think our chairman could deliver it. And what little do I know, if you put Tony Stewart in the room, he has a way, doesn't he? And I can remember saying to your chairman prior to that, I mean, I don't know if you can do this, chairman. I meant that. And he knows I don't play psychological games with your chairman. He'd send me at the clinic, wouldn't he? And but I can remember saying that. And listen, 20 minutes he's called me up and said, you speak to Frecklington, make sure he wants to come as a player, because we've agreed with Peterborough. And he's been absolutely fantastic from then. And he's had his poor games. He's had his games where he's not been quite at it. And you know, but he comes in every day. He wants to work hard on the training ground. He's disappointed when the session is no intense and people are not at it, and he'll let them know in his own way. And but he's if we had another opportunity to sign another three or four Lee Frecklingtons, but in respective positions, we would do it.
11 goals as well from midfield. It's not a bad return, is it?
No, and listen, does he set himself targets? I don't know the answer.
He does. He wants a double figures, and he's got past 10 now.
Well, if he's now got 11, I'd be saying he's capable of getting near 20. And from the middle of the park, considering we've got a young man on the right side of midfield who will get 20 plus, Kieran Agard, he just seems to get better. And he's not been great recently in terms of his overall performances, but I'll tell you what has been great, he seems to work harder.
Mm.
If somebody could work harder than him, we've yet to find him. He seems to find always a yard, always an opportunity, always in the mix of things. So if you add Frecklington to the likes of him, and if we've got two midfield players getting that type of goal ratio, then we should have a chance.
What about Arnesson and his commitments with Iceland? Is he due to go away with them at all in the coming weeks?
Yeah, he's in the squad for next week, in the Welsh game. Listen, we've got them all penned in for a season in advance. I spoke to Lars Lagerbeck, I think it's pronounced, this morning. I met Lars earlier in the season up at the Scottish Football Association coaching day. But we had a good chat, and they've got another international in May. But Lars has assured me that if we need Carey in May, then he'll be available to us in May. And that was... we need him every game, but that was a key reason for the call. Just say, listen, could we excuse him for next week? No, because this, okay, mate. Oh, okay, I'll give you my word that we could look at me.
So, is he available or not for Tuesday night?
No, he'll be missing for Colchester.
Right, and Notts County this weekend, a team scrapping for their lives. You know, they want the points just as much as you do. What do you expect from this one?
I expect it to be tough, like Stevenage was. Mm. I think any manager who sees a team come fighting for the survival in a particular league knows how tough it's going to be against them.
Yeah.
And what do you know about Notts County? They've got terrific players, that's what I know. They've got the boy McGregor who's at Celtic, who we all said a bit of £400,000 turned down, and Celtic agreed to leave him at County for the season.
Grealish.
They've got Grealish from Villa, who's going to be a star of the future. I'll say it now, Villa fans, you get ready to watch this kid. He's a proper player. And if you take it, you've got Campbell Rice, who's started the season up, and you very averagely, but he's been absolutely stunning since Christmas. And I don't know what Sean Derry's feeding him on, but he's feeding him something else that's working. And I've seen him for an hour terrorise Peterborough, and that would be the word I would use. And I know that the chief exec down at Notts County told me in January time that this boy Campbell Rice is on fire, and I was waiting to see him when I went to Peterborough. He didn't let me down. He was terrific, and they've got a manager that's going to demand that they're strong here and they're strong-willed and they have a go, and it's a dangerous game for us.
Why dangerous?
It's a dangerous game because it's...
Is it because of the expectation that will surround it from supporters they'll expect you to win,
don't they? Listen, I think if you're around the country, you have it as a home banker. I think if you're Steve Evans, you think that's a dangerous situation to be in. Most people had us as a home banker against Stevenage, and we'd to go to the last minute of the game or and into injury time to win it. It's how tough it is. You know, in League One, despite what some of these managers at the top group think, that some clubs have a right, and we're not one of them to have a right to be in the playoffs. We're not going to be there. We're going to follow in, finish 10th and 12th. According to three this week, it is now not two. It was two last week.
It's now, three now.
There's now three after midweek. But, you know, the difference of winning and losing in League One, as Sheffield United proved more than anyone at the minute, is a fine, fine line. And it's fine margins. And that's where your top players come in. If you look at last week when we get the winner against the bottom side on the day, Stevenage, it's just a piece of magic from Leif Lettrington that wins the game. So I'm looking for my big players in these games to demonstrate what they can do. And, you know, we're in a tough run, Paul. We've been away to Carlisle. We've been away to Preston. Yes, we're at home on Saturday at the New York to Notts County, but we're back on the road to Colchester and to Oldham. And, that's 4 out of 5 away from home. I mean, that's real, real tough. If we come through this spell and we start to get towards single figures games of the season left, and if we've got a 14 or 15 point margin towards the playoffs, I really mean it. We could have a look up and maybe have a tack on the top two. But at the minute, the only points differential I'm interested in is between Rotherham United and the team in seventh, because I think everyone in Rotherham accepts for us to make the playoffs at the end of the season will just be nothing short of a fantastic achievement, but it's within our grasp now, and we need to see it through, because there's a lot of teams has been in our position at this stage in many seasons and finished 12th and 13th in the table, where three experienced League One managers think we're going to finish.